This is the Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, where you can break the chains, stop the roller coaster lifestyle, live free in Christ, starting now.
Hello, this is Mike Johnson from the Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, coming to you again. Last week, we had a lot of good testimonies from the podcast that me and Will did on prayer. He's sitting here leaning with his forehead on the mic, so he must be pretty tired. But we had a lot of good positive feedback from that. I thank each and every one of you for emailing me, and you know who you are. I always love to get emails from students, from parents, from pastors, from anybody. I love it. You can send me an email anytime. My email address is Mike at crosscampusministry.com. If you have any prayer requests, any questions, any comments, something you felt like I may have left out on the show or any scriptures, just shoot me an email. And Will Johnson is here. His email address is
William@heartbeatforworship.com.
Heartbeatforworship.com. Also a good site that you could check out. So speaking of that, did you get a lot accomplished today? And I know you've been on a quest for balance and organization, productivity lately. Yeah,
I got a little bit accomplished.
Yeah, okay.
That's spring break.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things, being in school, you kind of have to reach that balance. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when we were talking about prayer a lot, I've had a couple people, me and you, I think I shared some things with a couple people that had emailed me, not private stuff, but just a couple things. Since we're talking about balance, I noticed a lot of problems that a lot of students have. It comes from lack of balance. And it comes from simple things like disorganization, because you have so much schoolwork. Mm-hmm. You could have up to about 5 or 6 classes at a time during a semester. Yeah. And every teacher gives you homework like you don't have any other classes.
Any other class, exactly.
And, you know, so oftentimes what happens is we put so much time into that. And then, of course, we want to hang out and have fun. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of students work to support themselves. Mm-hmm. And, it kind of pushes back prayer sometimes.
Right.
You know, and so things happen little by little. You know, I have a lot of people come and ask me questions about how did they get in certain situations and this and that. And you can often trace it back to something, which is why I always ask people, you know, can you think of the time maybe when this spiritual decline started? Because oftentimes they know. Mm-hmm. And they can often trace it back to a time where they were either out of church, or when their prayer life kind of, started to decline. So that's interesting. So I'm always excited to see, since you always tell me about getting organized and stuff like that. Organization is not just for professional goals and getting good grades, but organization also helps you to make sure that you keep your prayer life and your reading life in line, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so today we have with us Sister Penny. Somebody that I've been promising to you guys for months now that she would come in here. And it's not her fault. It's my fault. I probably took a good, out of those 2 months, a good 3 or 4 weeks to send her the questions that I wanted to ask, you know. So a lot of it was my fault. It goes back to that organization that you were talking about.
Yeah.
So she is going to share with us her testimony. And I'm going to let her share a lot of that with you. Before we do that, I have a request for those of you listening. We operate this ministry not on a gigantic, gigantic budget. So any promotions or any kind of exposure we can get is good for us. So what I ask of you guys, the listeners today, is if you use iTunes. iTunes is probably the biggest database for podcasts. Well, it is the biggest database for podcasts in the world right now. So if you use iTunes, would you, for me and for us, go into the iTunes store, type in Cross Campus Ministry Podcast, and review the podcast? The more reviews podcasts get, the higher they show up when you type in something like Christian Campus Ministry Podcast. So if you like this podcast, open up iTunes, make a review. I'm not going to tell you to put 5 stars on there, you know, but if you do like the podcast, you know, review it, you know, put something on there to kind of help us gain exposure, because we want to use our money wisely, and we don't want to spend hundreds of dollars advertising when we can, you know, when we have the resources to gain the exposure ourselves. All right. Is that fair, you guys?
Yes,
fair.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to get going to this interview here that I've been excited to talk about. I've been telling everybody about it. Before we do, did you have anything you wanted to share before we get started, Will?
No, it's all good.
You need a latte. I could tell by your eyes.
Yeah, I think it's a sugar, the result of a sugar high coming down.
Oh, yeah, those can be pretty bad. Those can be coffee, too. When you come down from coffee, it can be pretty hard. So I broke myself from coffee for a while, and I actually had more energy, and then I went right back.
That's
true. Yeah, you get more energy. Mm-hmm. So, and I go off and on that thing, so. Okay, without further ado, Sister Penny, I've known her for many years. She is a woman of God. She is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, let others boast about you, right? So let me boast on you.
Thank you, sir.
She is a woman of integrity from the years that I've known her. And she has an interesting testimony. She, I believe, was delivered from same-sex attraction, the lesbian lifestyle for over a decade.
18 years.
So that's a wonderful testimony. And God delivered her from that. And, you know, we're not here to judge anybody. We're not here to bring out these things to try to be controversial. Mm-hmm. But it is a testimony. And Sister Penny wasn't the only one in that lifestyle. I often share with ministers when I talk about this topic is, I know there's more than two preachers on television that have dealt with this temptation.
Yeah.
But we don't, it's almost like we're afraid to talk about it, you know? And what that does is that isolates people in the church because they're sitting in the pew thinking, well, man, I'm the only one. Something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Because we'll stand up and we'll talk about our, you know, God delivered me from alcohol and God delivered me from cocaine and God delivered me from sex and God delivered me from that. But then when it's the same sex thing and the homosexuality, it's like, well, you know, you got to use wisdom because some people can't handle everything. You know, so we use wisdom there. And that's what it does. It isolates everybody. So if you're listening to this, this is one of my two goals for this podcast is one, to help us Christians that may have loved ones that are dealing with this kind of thing, learn about the behavior and where it started and how to minister to those. And two, if you're if you deal with that kind of temptation, then maybe you can find somebody that to identify with, and maybe you'll be blessed by some of the testimonies that Sister Penny will share. So, Sister Penny, why don't you tell us a little bit? I've got some questions here that I'm going to throw your way.
Okay,
so, Sister Penny, tell us a little bit about yourself and your testimony. Maybe start, I don't know, when you were younger. However you would like to start.
Okay, first of all, I would like to say, I'm glad that I have this opportunity to be able to share my testimony. As Deacon Mike was saying earlier, there are some people who feel that this is kind of a taboo subject and they like to shy away from, but just like alcohol, just like drugs, there are people that are out here dealing with same-sex attractions and they are truly battling. And I pray... hope and pray that my testimony will be able to, you know, help someone. But I like to start off saying that I started with that same-sex attraction at the age of 19. I graduated and everything. And I truly did have a boyfriend first. And matter of fact, me and him went together for almost 2 years. And we broke up. I broke up with him. It was almost 2 years. Insecure, and you know, we fought a lot, okay? But there's always, people always have this thing that you turn to the same sex because of a man. I'm here to tell you that no, that's not always true. To me, my thing is, and I've seen a lot of it now today, is curiosity. You know, basically, at this point, no, I wasn't with anyone. Like I said, we broke up, but at that age, I was approached by a female, but it wasn't directly. It was through a mutual friend of ours. And, of course, like I said, now you see that there's someone interesting, okay?
Oh,
and it's something that, you know, never really crossed my mind. But then when you get that, like they said, that little seed get planted, okay? So now curiosity. Mm-hmm. Okay, what would it be like?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what happened, you know, and it wasn't an right to it thing, but, you know, we talked and stuff like that. Eventually it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so at the age of 19 is when I first started my same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with this female, and me and her dealt with each other for off and on for about a little over a year. Now, the thing about this is people will say, yeah, you know, I'll try it. It's nothing. I'll try it. But let me share this with you, okay? The mind, okay, you got to have a strong mind when you're dealing with anything, okay? If, like you say, I'm going to try it, ain't going to do nothing, and you think you're going to get in it and then get out of it, mm-hmm. believe me, it's easy with anything to get pulled in. That first experience, like I said, led to a lifestyle of 18 years. And so that was basically my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say to myself, and one thing that I want to say to you, because there's people out here who may feel that it's right, there's nothing wrong with it. At first, when I was dealing with it, you would be ashamed, okay, to come out and say, people will confront you and you try to, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're ashamed of it, okay, first of all, then
yeah.
there must be something that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have to hide
yeah.
behind yeah. something, that tells you right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I remember when my aunt first found out, you know, because I used to go off on the weekends, friends, and hang out, and she found out off the street. Not even from me, you know, by people talking.
Yeah.
Yes. And she confronted me, and she was upset. She was angry, and like, that's the worst thing you could ever do and be. And, of course, this is something you don't want to hear.
Right, okay? Yeah, yeah.
Because this is something you're in. And, yes, it was sinful, but, yes, I enjoyed it. That mm-hmm. was my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, you know, I kept on despite how she felt,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though that was my aunt, despite how she felt, I kept on and, you know, I mean, relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't many relationships at relationship. And like I said, that was my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Now, your aunt, did she happen to be a Christian?
No.
Okay.
At that time, she wasn't, nor I.
Okay. Because we're going to talk about some of the things that sometimes how Christians make people in that lifestyle feel,
mm-hmm.
Which is one thing that always makes me kind of upset. And I can't lie. I've had things that I know now I didn't always know.
Right.
You know, but now when I, you know, I start to learn more about it, I start realizing somewhat of some hypocritical behavior in the fact that, you know, the Bible does say that men with men and women with women is an abomination.
Yes.
But I don't think we can so eagerly and so openly just quick to just jump on
mm-hmm.
one person in sin and the other one. For example, you might have a guy, and we even see this in the world. If you forget about Christianity, when I was in school, if you had a guy that was sleeping with a lot of women, he was cool.
Yeah.
He was the man.
Exactly.
And then you had a woman sleeping with a guy, she's a slut.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's almost the same thing that you do in the Christian world. You look at a guy who may be sleeping with a lot of women, and we, come on, man, we're going to pray for you. And, you know, you'll get through it. And it's just, you know, something that's common, you know, and we all deal with it. But then when someone comes in and they have a same-sex attraction,
exactly.
it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to that person. That's weird, or that makes me feel uncomfortable,
right,
or,
right.
you know, you're this and that. And that's not right.
No, it's
that's not.
Not
right. And
no,
not. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Now, you mentioned that you said the attraction actually started when somebody approached you.
Mm-hmm.
So it had never crossed your mind.
Never.
That's interesting. That's very, very interesting.
No. It never did.
Because that means that you really have to be careful, because
yeah.
one little thing, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes I'll hear people say, you know, well, I've never felt that way. But that mm-hmm. brings a whole
right.
new light.
And the thing was, the other female, she thought I was, I guess because there's a walk, my walk. There's a walk.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
And she thought I was, actually, uh-huh. but I was like, no, I'm
yeah.
not. So
yeah. And so there had to be some kind of, you call it curiosity, There had to be some kind of lack of really knowing who you were there too, because at one point you questioned it. It had to have, which brings it up to, you know, something else. But if you heard that song, I know you've heard about it because a pastor preaches about it, by Katy Perry, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It.
Yeah.
So you're saying, basically what I got from what you were saying a minute ago, things like that, that's nothing to play with.
It's nothing to play with. And that's, I mean, of course, you know, hey, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, that first kiss.
Yeah.
So that first kiss. And it actually, a kiss.
Yeah.
Okay, and we kissed, and that just...
Yeah.
Sparks just went off, and that one thing led to another.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as with anything.
Yeah. Because we live in human bodies. That's why, like we said, and I think sometimes when we talk about judgmental and the Christian thing for this kind of thing, I think sometimes maybe, I could be wrong, but it operates more with men than with women, you know, because you'll see a guy who's gay or same-sex attraction, however you want to word it. You have a guy that way. A straight guy will be like, well, you know, I've never felt that way before, so something's wrong with him. But that's not true. If we live in a human body, we can become attracted to whatever our mind lets ourselves be attracted to.
Exactly.
You know, whatever you let that seed go in. And, you know, it all ties into everything. You know, just like the economy, everything goes together.
Right.
Pornography, all these things tie together. Yeah. There's no way that you can be a man looking at pornography. You know, you're looking at women and there's five guys in there and then they're all touching each other. There's seeds that are being planted there.
Yeah. Right.
And you have to be careful. And we can't be in denial and just say that, well, but I'm a man and I never. You have to watch that. The Bible says, be sanctified, mind, body, and soul. You know, or mind, body, and spirit. And I think oftentimes we focus on the spirit. And, you know, we do all the spiritual things, and then we don't guard our emotions.
Exactly.
So we completely protect the spirit by quoting the scriptures and praying and all that. And then we'll let our emotions get tied into somebody and wonder, why didn't the prayer work? Locking up the spirit and leaving the emotions free is almost like locking your front door and opening your back door. So we have to guard our spirit and our emotions, our mind and our intellect. And I think the intellect goes to listening to those songs. Hey, man, I can be straight all day. If I constantly listen to that song over and over and over, it's going to affect my intellect. It's going to make me curious. It's going to make me want to try things, right? And like you said, once you try it,
it
can be tough, man. You know, that's just like, jokefully, I talked about the caffeine earlier. But, hey, I lived 27 years. My first 27 years, I never drank coffee.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to, because I felt like my mom drank too much coffee. She's going to listen to this, and I'm going to get a call. But I didn't want to because I felt like she was addicted to it, you know. And at the age of 27, I said, well, let me try some coffee. I just want to see what it tastes like.
Okay.
Next thing you know, $5 a day
turns
into $300 a day, you know. And that's a light thing. It's just coffee.
Yeah.
But it all works in the same principles.
Exactly.
You know, sugar, Snicker bars can be pretty addicting. Same-sex attraction. I'm not trying to trivialize it because it's a big deal. I'm not trying to trivialize by comparing that to Snickers, but, you know, just to kind of make it relevant.
I'm curious. You said over the time span of 18 years there, you mentioned something about relationships in the plural sense. How many, was it a lot of different relationships as a lifestyle, or was it just a few over a long time?
It was a few over a long time. I can really one, two, you know, about three.
Okay, just a few.
Over a long time. And honestly, let me say this. When people think about same sex, and they look at it really as far as a sex thing, basically that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
But I can honestly tell you, okay, because my thing with as far as being attracted to women, it was basically, and not saying that I couldn't do this with a man, because right now at this point I do desire to treat him and be affectionate, okay, to him. But it really wasn't just about a sex thing.
I see.
It was about being and having someone that you can really care for.
Yeah. You love
and
that
person. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So really it wasn't. And I interject and put that in there because a lot of times people look at, especially yeah. with the men and the men,
yeah.
about it being just a sex thing and, ooh, that's nasty. But it actually, love is there.
That's a good point, because I find when I'm witnessing to somebody who is homosexual, that I'll let them know. I don't disagree with the fact that you may be in love with whoever your partner is, or you know, that person you're in a relationship with. But I'm curious how you felt, real quick, if you ever went to a church during that time, or if you ever overheard people talking about it being a sin. If you did, what that made you feel like, or did these thoughts come into your mind?
You know what, honestly, between that time, actually overcoming in the year 2001,
okay,
really mm-hmm. was the first church. It's besides being in the military, but I wasn't dealing with that.
Yeah.
But this was actually the first church that I have been to. Of course, growing up, you go to church.
Yeah.
But now, okay, I'm grown,
okay,
as we say, at 18. You yeah. do what you want. Really, church wasn't on my agenda, you know what I'm saying, so.
Can you share with us, because you kind of brought it up, do you remember the story, and you don't have to name any names or make, but you had shared a story with somebody you had ministered to on a campus, and
right.
some of the things that you were sharing with her I thought were helpful. Could you share that story?
I was talking to a person, an individual, and it came into my heart and my spirit to let them know, this particular person, that, you know, I don't agree. While I don't agree with the lifestyle of being a homosexual, I do love homosexuals. I don't look at them any less than anyone else. And I do not. I told the person that I don't deny the fact that you or anyone else may have been in love with a particular person. I had real and genuine feelings. And I began to tell the person about how, like a child, you know, you may have a parent that tries to keep you away from the cookie jar. And in your mind, you have no cognitive understanding of why I can't have a cookie.
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying, like you were saying earlier, I wouldn't dare disrespect anyone who's listening or anyone who's a homosexual to trivialize it and say, well, it's just like eating a cookie. But to bring an analogy across, when you're in a certain state, you can't see that there's anything wrong with it. Why should there? And this was the point. Why would there be anything wrong with it if it makes me feel good?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what I brought out is actually analyzing and looking and breaking apart what about it makes me feel good, and why does it make me feel good? Not just stopping there.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out instantly, I'm in my mind praying, okay, this is not as easy as I thought, because even in my mind I could see, well, what's wrong with it? But the only way I was truly able to witness to this individual on how what God has showed me, not William Johnson's doctrine, but what's in the Bible and what my faith and what I believe between sin and what's not sin, is to bring it all the way back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought it all the way back to the beginning about Genesis and Adam and Eve, and related that back to the cookie jar and about what sin really is. You can't just go out to a person who's homosexual and tell them what you're doing is a sin,
right,
without explaining to them what sin is, because now it just looks like it's the race thing. Oh, you're black, there's something wrong with you. You're white, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because now you can. If you leave it on that level, then you're justified to equate it to that conversation. But if you explain and define what sin really is, and the fact that you believe in an absolute, and that you have to pick either right or wrong, and the two cannot coexist, and if that's the case, then we redefine what sin is. And if sin is going against that standard, then let's explain the standard. And the standard was that I'm created by something bigger than me.
Exactly.
And if I'm created by something bigger than me, then that means my sexual orientation, my desire, my appetite for that, whether emotionally or physically, comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes from somewhere, it's not something that is just thrown out there, played with, or manipulated in any other way. It has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I began to talk about that, the particular individual was like, you know, I never saw it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they were open at that point, because now they could see where I was coming from.
Yeah.
I'm not bashing you.
Right.
Yeah. I'm explaining to you why it is that I believe this particular way.
Yeah.
And like you said, when you bash them, because honestly, okay, I got saved back in 2001. I was going to, I started going to Fayetteville Tech, back in 2002, and then, you know, of course, okay, I'm saved, I'm delivered, mm-hmm. okay, and so, but I see this individual. And, of course, now, at this point, you see what now God had delivered mm-hmm. you from, okay? So now it's just totally wrong.
Yeah.
You have no business living like that. Uh-huh. Like you were saying, and that's
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
don't jump,
yeah.
and you don't bash, but you have to be compassionate.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
now, teach yeah. him, tell yeah. him.
I notice openness. It really, that's what really blesses people, when you can be open with them. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody's going to put a wall up, mm-hmm. whether they know it's wrong or whether it's right.
Right.
You know, you were sharing something about that individual. You know, oftentimes I think, you know, if somebody feels like something's right, you can only judge them so much for doing
yeah.
it. You know, they think it's right.
And if they feel it's right, there's but so much
right.
you can say yeah, to them.
Exactly.
Otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes people that are in every lifestyle that's wrong, they have a reason why they're doing it that way. And so many times with the same-sex attraction, you have so many. Yours was went back to curiosity and experience. And some go back to as far as they can remember. Mm-hmm. They've always been attracted right. to that. And so they often feel like, well, I was born this way because
exactly.
I've always had this. And that goes into a huge debate about the gay gene and this and that. And you know, I won't get into that, but I won't even deny people being born a certain way. In the fact that, and I want you to hear me out, in the fact that we know that some people are born with an inclination to be addicted to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the addictive personality, you know? And we know that. And some people have chemical things. But regardless of that, and one thing I love Ravi Zacharias said, if we are born with something, doesn't it make it that much more true where Jesus Christ said, you must be born again?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are born with it, if we're not, all of us were born into different things. Every man was born into sin. Whether that sin was alcoholism, whether that sin was fighting and anger, whether right. that sin was same-sex attraction, we all need to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the beauty of Christianity, that we all make mistakes. But through the cross and mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ, we can look to the Word and see what is the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have grace as we're walking
yes.
along. It's
yes.
little by little.
Yes.
Like you shared, you know, somebody approached you and it wasn't on your mind. Then after a while, it ended up happening.
Yes.
And then it turned into an 18-year yoke. Well, it didn't happen all of a sudden.
Right.
And the reversal or the healing or mm-hmm. deliverance may not happen all of a sudden.
Exactly.
It could be a little by little thing because you have to change 18 years of conditioning.
There you go.
18 years of conditioning. So.
And now with that also, I want to state, those just as myself that has been delivered,
mm-hmm.
okay, yes, the enemy may come in. If anything,
mm-hmm.
okay, comes to where now you doubt, don't stand on your deliverance, okay,
mm-hmm.
first of all. Don't doubt that you are not delivered,
mm-hmm.
okay, because now that will put you to,
okay, yeah.
okay, now doubting.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah.
Who you are and who Christ, what he did
yeah,
for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Never doubt that because now you'll find yourself going back.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
I
so
see.
Stand on your deliverance.
Right.
Of who Christ now have made you.
Right.
And that's the righteousness of God.
And you know, I noticed that guilt and condemnation, they can kind of get confused
mm-hmm.
sometimes. When you sin, you feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do get delivered from lifestyle and you end up falling, if you feel guilty, but repent, but don't let it condemn you.
Exactly.
Like, well, I guess it didn't work. I guess I'm just too messed up. You know, what does the Bible say? Now, therefore, we have no more condemnation.
Exactly.
And we'll put all these scriptures on the post. If you go to crosscampusministry.com and you look for the post with Sister Penny, you'll see all the scriptures that we mentioned. Wow, we're right on time here. This is such a good podcast. I think we have to do it again.
Okay.
Because you can't. There's
yeah.
so much to put out.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much to put out. I do have a couple questions for
mm-hmm.
you. Let me see here, since we don't have a lot of time left. If there was anything that you would share with individuals that are listening, and maybe dealing with this kind of thing. You know, they don't want those attractions. What are some things that maybe you would share with them?
I've talked to people, people actually who do admit that this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that way. Now, once you say this, and I honestly tell people, okay, that's why you have to, and I open myself up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I do be careful and be wise, but I open myself up to anybody who may need, okay, someone to be there with them or for them,
mm-hmm.
okay, to help them along the way. Not saying I'm all that, but I've been there, and I know how it is to stand alone,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have anyone who be able to be able to talk to.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't be afraid. If this is something that you really want to get out of, don't hold it in. That will not get you anywhere. If anything, it will continue to keep you defeated. Don't hold it in. I understand we may not want to talk to anybody and everybody. You know, find, seek, pray that God will send you someone to talk to,
mm-hmm.
to be able to share this lifestyle with. This lifestyle with that you're in, that you know you truly mm-hmm. are desperately crying out and want out.
Mm-hmm.
Really, basically, you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah,
you can't do it, and that's the main thing. You know, I even tell people now, you cannot. You may want it really bad. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's what I tell them.
Yeah, and it, you know, I'd like to add to that. If you are dealing with that, or you may be struggling with it, you may be completely in it. If you know, like Sister Penny says, find somebody to share with. And that is crucial. That's very crucial. Also, don't be intimidated and feel like I have to find somebody else that's dealing with that or was delivered from that. I think that stops people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if there's Christians and ministers in your church and youth pastors, just like Sister Penny said, go find them. But you don't have to just look for somebody
exactly.
that's dealing
that's
with that.
Exactly.
They may be completely straight.
Exactly.
Hey, talk to them because they've been delivered from things, you know, in their own life, and they can help you deal with it.
Don't be
you
afraid.
Know? Don't be afraid. Yes. Just because your pastor may have never mentioned that he struggled with that, he can still help you because it's not him.
Right.
It's Jesus Christ
right.
and the Holy Spirit right. working through him. So go to your youth pastors. Go to your assistant pastors. Go to your pastor. Go to your brothers and sisters
yes.
in Christ. Just be open.
Exactly.
Just pull somebody aside that
exactly.
you trust,
yes.
that has a good track record. Just pull somebody aside and just, you know, let it out.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm dealing with this.
Yeah.
I want to get through it.
Exactly.
Can you help me? Just sometimes you just got to just throw it out there.
That's what it's going to take. Exactly.
Did you have anything you want to say before we close?
No, it's great.
Okay. So I thank all of you. The time on this one, this podcast went by faster than any of them. Because that was excellent. Thank you for being
pleasure.
With us.
Yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
What we're going to do. We're going to do a follow-up to this. Sister Penny may or may not be here with us. We don't know, but we're definitely going to do a follow-up to bring out a lot more things. If you're interested in this topic, we have a lot of things that we want to share with you that time won't allow today on this episode. So be looking for that on crosscampusministry.com. Now, to be sure you don't forget, because like we talked about busy schedules, you'll listen to this podcast. And then you'll go to the website and you'll be interested in it and then you'll forget about it. So the best way to not forget is to go to the website, crosscampusministry.com, sign up for the email updates. That way we'll remind you, you know, and when the follow-up episode comes and different episodes come, it'll go to your email box. We respect your privacy and all that. We'll never spam you. And we only send a couple emails a month. So do that. Protect yourself against forgetting about how this was a blessing in your life. Who wants to close in prayer? Sister Penny or Will?
Can I state one thing?
Yes,
I just
definitely.
Want to read, one thing, and this is out of a Bible that I have, and you know, questions and answers. And there's a question here that what does the Bible say about homosexuality? And if for any of you really, you know, want to go in the Bible, there's a scripture that you can look up in the Old Testament is Leviticus 18 and 22. And, you know, because people, you know, would tend to don't think that stuff like this is in the Bible, but yes, it is. And you also have a scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. And I just want to read this. Paul shows homosexuality as a final order of rebellion against God. When people exchange the truth of God for a lie and begin to worship the creature instead of the creator, they are given up to evil. When values are turned upside down and moral anarchy appears, men burn with lust for other men and women burn for women, and they will receive in their own bodies the punishment for their actions. And then it goes to note that from a biblical standpoint, the rise of homosexuality is a sign that a society is in the last stages of decay. And I just wanted to point that in there because people may feel that they have all the time in the world to change, and actually, people, you don't.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a matter of truly life and death, you know, that you really take this and any other sin to heart.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for adding that. How about a quick word of prayer for Sister Penny from Penny, and then maybe you could close us out.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for this broadcast on today. God, I pray that someone's heart has truly been touched. I pray, God, that someone's ears have truly been opened and somebody's heart pierced, God, that what was said this afternoon, God, would truly turn someone's heart from that sin of homosexuality or any other sin, God,
that you have
on the cross for, God, that we can say, God, that we don't have to live this way or any other way that's not in your will. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will look on those out there, God, that are battling, that are struggling with this same-sex addiction, God. And I pray right now that you would touch them, God, in Jesus' name, God, and let them, God, not be fearful to go to anyone admit that they have a problem. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we thank you, Father, for this time, and I thank you, Lord, for Brother Michael and Penny. Lord, I pray right now for the listener, for the person who is accepting this word and may be fearful and afraid and unable to change, Holy Spirit, that you will bless them and allow them to. For the listener who may be angry and may not understand and may feel as though these are words that are coming harmfully, Lord, to spitefully accuse them, that they would understand, Lord God, that it is only out of love and not hate in the name of Jesus, that their heart would be open instead of acting and operating off of anger and fear, of having an inkling and opening, Lord, to understanding and a hunger to search and find out why it is that we feel and believe the way that we do. Now may it be unto him that is able to keep you from falling and stumbling. The only wise God, may he bless you and may he keep you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you and God bless you.